It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
I mean, the spring is the spring. This is the season, and this is what counts. So, you know, tonight it wasn't good enough.
This is our group, and we certainly got to be a little better than that and expect it, and we will. Today wasn't a good day.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's Craig Counsell. He was talking about J-Mo and the first cut. He wasn't good today.
Friday. That was Friday.
Then he's talking about the group that was yesterday.
That was all season.
And that was all season.
All season.
Excuse me.
Six-game season.
But yesterday was awful.
Well, it was awful, and that's why he sounded that way. Yeah. We have our early on, it's the last day of March, and we already have cranky Craig Counsell.
Yeah. Well, I think you get cranky when you have to talk about the same problem 2 years running.
Okay. I think you're right. Why is that?
Because their bullpen's no damn good.
Well, why is that?
Because the players that they got aren't as good as they thought they'd be. Yeah, Caleb Thibault yesterday, did you see that? Thibault, what's his name?
Caleb Thibault.
Okay. He threw 20 pitches. Six were strikes. They were walking players yesterday. I mean, it's just sickly to
Caleb
see that.
Caleb Thibault was here from free agent. It came from free agency. He came from the Twins.
Yes,
and now,
in the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings, their relievers walk six batters, one of which was the intentional walk.
That's not good.
Six.
We live in a society where you know you can take everything back. Right, you get something, you order something from Amazon or whatever, and it's so easy to take back. I just did it yesterday. Just go to, you take them a box of something that was sent to you.
What did you order yesterday?
Well, I didn't order anything yesterday. I ordered some clothes via Amazon, and it came in, and they didn't send the right package to me. So you know how easy it is to take back? You just take it back. You give them a box, you show them a barcode, boom, done, right?
I'm not exaggerating. I think we have like three pairs of shoes a day showing up in my house.
Thank you.
And they're returned, most of them.
And you can tell that we get in the societal kind of lapse. We don't like it. We just take it back. It's a disposable society. So, six games into the season, you know what I want to do with this Cub bullpen? Take it back. Take it back, Ryan Pressly. Go back to Houston. Here's the receipt.
Can I ask you something? How bad must Cody Poteet be?
I know.
If you got rid of that
guy.
Well,
they did trade him for cash considerations.
Well, I'm
don't
just
call
saying.
It a salary dump.
Yeah. But don't call it a salary dump. Oh, boy. We talked to Bruce at 7:25. I made the mistake Saturday during the return to Inside the Clubhouse of calling the Cody Bellinger trade a salary dump.
Oh, I mean, what? How would you define it?
I don't know,
how
Alex.
Would he define it?
He fought back. He fought back.
He
there,
did.
There were words.
Well, so I don't know how else you.
You got a guy you cut, and
there were crosswords,
and you got rid of his salary.
Okay,
how is that not?
Well,
a
that's
salary
Bruce. Well, that's, but Molly, okay, I know I'm overreacting, and I'm aware of that, and we're kind of exaggerating for effect too, because it was that bad of a weekend. But here's the numbers in the first six games of the season.
Oh, this is good.
The Cubs bullpen has an 8.34 ERA, nearly as many walks, 19, as strikeouts. And they've pitched 22 and two-thirds innings in the six-game season so far. That's disastrous because you have a situation that was supposed to represent an upgrade. Last year, they blew 26 saves, as you keep reminding me.
But, I mean,
this year they're no better.
If it was halved one year to the next, that's what I thought, then they're going to win like 90-something games, right? I don't understand, and I get it. A bullpen is different year to year. Guys perform differently out of the bullpen. But
the volatility of a bullpen's a thing, right?
Yeah.
We have to expect that.
But why can't they get good for a year?
I agree. I'm wondering
get
that, too.
Get good for a year.
Get good for a year. And here's the other thing that made me as cranky as Craig Counsell sounded yesterday.
He did sound cranky.
The explanation for why they didn't try Julian Merriweather. And the explanation being that he had warmed up the two previous days, so he wasn't available to pitch in an actual game.
I started jotting it down, David. The mystery of why they didn't take Eli Morgan out of the game.
Okay.
Fly out. Double.
Mm-hmm.
Home run. Single. Double. Intentional walk. There was a single by, I think, the pitcher or something, and a runner thrown out at home plate. Then another single.
At what point do you think this is a bad idea?
I'm just saying.
He doesn't have it.
That's the wrong guy to have out
okay.
there. I'm not saying he can't pitch ever.
This was why.
But not today.
Not today.
Come here now.
No, but
warm up somebody.
Not Julian Merriweather, because he warmed up the two previous days, and this is why he wasn't available.
Try Poteet.
Yeah, Merriweather was not available today. He was up twice last night. He was up twice the first night and just didn't recover and wasn't able to go today.
Does that kind of lead to you need to lean on Eli a little bit more in that inning? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, the guys that pitched were the guys we had available today.
You know who else was up last night, all night? Cub fans. They couldn't sleep.
That's right.
Here we go again. The bullpen stinks.
You know, Ryan Pressly wasn't available because he can't pitch.
All right.
Now that's over the top.
We need to have a little bit more of a reality check here.
Okay.
Deep breaths. It's Monday morning. We thought we crossed the threshold on that magical Friday. And we come back to work, and it's all the same stuff. So we need to get that out of our system. We'll be grounded in reality once again soon. But just let us wallow in this misery right now.
But like, just say to yourself, breathe deep, and say, Sacktown. Sacktown.
They're right in Sacktown. And the A's are there for your help, Cubs fans.
They're there for the taking.
And the bullpen's going to be okay.
The beauty of Sacktown is, I believe, no rats. A huge upgrade from Oakland. No rats.
312-644-6767. What do you feel about the Cubs after this weekend? Angst? Panic?
Wow.
Indigestion?
Let's try Jim. He's downstate. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I live downstate, right in the middle of Cardinal fans. Really pleasant. I'm just going to say, I have defended Jed for a lot of years. But look at the moves, and Dave and Molly jump on this. Look at what we got. The guy we got for Bellinger, we released him. Mm-hmm. We DFA'd him this weekend. So basically, we made a little bit of money on it. Bellinger, why couldn't we have kept him to the deadline this year and at least got a high A player? Number two, why did we get outbid for Tanner Scott? Our revenue last year was $534 million. Our payroll was $214 million. I know there's other expenses to run a baseball team. Let's just say $10 million for everything else. We let the Dodgers outbid us by $2 million, I think, for a three-year contract for Tanner Scott. If Swanson does not make that play Saturday night, we have probably back-to-back blown saves. I know it's early. I know there's angst. We are down four, and I have to listen to it, four in the loss column after six games to St. Louis. I'm telling you, St. Louis has a better manager. Well, I'll back off that one.
Yeah.
They have an elite, I'm sorry, good point, guys.
I'm just saying.
They have an elite closer. But I look at these moves, and all winter we talk, get Tanner Scott. You guys said it last fall or at the deadline. And now look where we're at. And
Jim, you're right.
Nobody talks about it.
Yeah, I hear the frustration in your voice.
Jim.
It's a good point. Tanner Scott and Kirby Yates were guys the Cubs were in on, and the Dodgers outbid them for both. Ryan Pressly, I don't want to give up on him. We can lament what he hasn't been so far,
yes.
And I can talk about the Craig Kimbrel vibes that he was giving me on Saturday night. But I guess it is early. Six games in, it's you got to get that out of your system. At least I do. We can be rational about the Cubs moving forward. We have our moments of irrationality. That's
2-4, David.
I know.
That's better than you thought.
Well,
it's about exactly what
Jim,
you thought.
Jim makes a really good point about the Dansby Swanson play, which was one of the better plays you're going to see from an infielder.
Yes.
But it really saved the Cubs. They were staring up trouble. If he doesn't make that play, the bases are loaded.
4-3, and he puts the tag on the guy. And he got him. It wasn't close.
It wasn't close.
Like something you had to worry about.
He made the quick fake to first, and then he ran him down on third base.
Yeah, it was good.
But
good heads up play on his part.
It was not your closer striking out the side to win a game.
We were at that moment.
Yes.
We were watching the Bulls and the NCAA tournament.
It was dramatic. It was fun though.
It was so much.
Wasn't
fun.
It fun? I mean, everyone should watch
it
a game.
It was like sitting
like
in Elvis's basement. You know what was great about it? Is the people that were commenting on it, that we had different people who are all sports people commenting on each game as they were going on. So you'd kind of look, you'd hear something.
People who aren't aware, we were at the Bulls game by invitation on Saturday night.
Yeah, we didn't just show up.
We were invited to the Bulls suite, and it was really generous of them
to
do that.
Thank
you, Patrick Sandusky.
He also gave me this hat.
That's a sweet hat.
It's a Loyola. They had like a Loyola night, so it's a Bulls hat.
I was wondering how they did that. Was that custom made for you?
I think it was custom made for Loyola fans back whenever the day was, but Patrick grabbed one and gave it to me.
It sounds better for our audience than it's custom made for you.
It warms my heart because I really like this hat.
So
I think I need a longer brim kind of turned down. I like
so you're not a flat brim Bill guy.
I just look at me.
Will Venable.
I'm kind of an
Will
old
Venable. You look
down
a little like Will Venable this morning.
You got the
clean hat.
Only I'm a lot right, older Alex. Than Will Venable.
I know.
He
but
looks
good.
A lot younger.
Yeah, it looks good.
Thank you.
So
buddy.
We're in the suite. It's me, you, Bob Vassilopoulos.
Yeah, Bobby V was there.
Bobby V was there. Grody, Layla, Grody, Ray.
Layla was great.
Grody, Cody.
Hilarious.
Good group. Fun group. Fun night.
Matt Spiegel
was there with his lovely wife.
And we had a great group there.
But your point is we're watching the Bulls out of the out live.
It's going, I mean,
going out live.
They're playing right in front of us. But we have it on the TV.
And we got the Florida game and the NCAA tournament game on one TV.
Yes.
In the middle of the Cubs. And we're kind of transfixed by the Cubs because the Bulls are doing what they're doing with the Mavericks, keeping it close. They ended up losing, as you know. But the Cubs are about ready to blow it again.
Mm.
And then.
Felt that way.
Then Dansby Swanson.
Yep. To the rescue.
Heads up play, gives a fist pump.
Yeah.
That was a great fist pump.
It was great.
And I thought at that moment, like, all right, they're going to win on Sunday. They're going to ride this momentum all the way to Sacktown. They're going to ride the momentum all the way to Sacktown and beat the A's. But it was really for naught because the bullpen blew it yesterday. So a great moment was really kind of tainted. by what happened yesterday.
I mean, it was a bit deflating because the Sox had already lost 1-0. And then the Bulls eventually lose. Like, when the three teams won on Thursday, we were like, woo, Papa Champagne. How often does that happen? Well, let's hope it happens on Saturday.
And when Dansby gave the fist pump, he's like, that's a new day in Chicago. Yeah. Everybody's winning now.
It was funny.
And then the Sox lose.
And then I had picked Florida, and I'm watching them go down, and I'm just like, okay.
Good pick.
I walked outside. I walked into the stadium to watch the Bulls, and then Florida came back. So
I missed the comeback.
I missed it on purpose because it was hard to watch.
I stayed in the suite because you know what was good?
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything was. Great time.
Those sliders were awesome.
Yeah, we had steak sliders. Holy God.
Oh, man.
I mean, usually you expect like a hot dog, right?
No!
It's a game and you're in a booth. Yeah. Where's the dogs? David put ketchup on it. Let's all watch. And then not eat it.
I did have captive audience to see what I was going to eat.
It's hilarious. Oh, all right. Let's get to Kevin. Kevin's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. The reaction is anger because when you know something ahead of time, and as the phone call was made Thursday, and David, as you agreed with me, Ryan Pressly is not a closer. He's a closer because kind of like Ben Johnson needed to come to Chicago to teach our GM what an offensive lineman looks like. Jed Hoyer cannot build a bullpen because Jed doesn't believe in velocity. Jed believes in, you know, stay in the strike zone. I can't wait till you guys call it the hot of me because I do love the strategy of, hey, walk the first two guys on 8 pitches and then fall behind 2-0. Make sure you throw something right down the middle to this team full of maniacs. The Dodgers signed 3 closers this offseason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They literally signed 3. The Cubs could have had any of them. They could have had Blake Treinen. They could have had Kirby Yates or Tanner Scott. But we chose to get this guy, who we had to beg to move from Houston, who's not a closer anymore.
Right.
He's not good. Here's the other thing. For everyone who thinks this is the old Oakland A's, the A's just took 2-4 in Seattle. They should have won 3-4. We are facing 2 beastly pitchers on Tuesday. And the guy Wednesday is going to be in the Cy Young final.
Listen,
so anyone
that's a good call.
These are going to be easy.
Kevin,
yeah,
load up on Sacktown. That's what you got to do. You got to load the sacks in Sacktown.
Yeah, you need to jam sacks, what, bags jammed? Sacks jammed. You definitely want to do that in Sacktown.
Sacks full.
But he's right about the A's. He's right about the A's and the pitching. And then if they get a lead, Mason Miller remember him?
Yes, I remember
him. That's the guy everybody wanted.
Wasn't
the Cubs
there a rumor that they were going to go after? It was all created by us.
It wasn't created by us.
No. But I'm just saying it was never going to happen. We just created it out of the ether.
He's pitched 1 inning so far this year and has 3 strikeouts.
Wow, that's a good inning.
That's a pretty good inning.
I wish the Cubs had a guy who could do that.
Well, Ryan Pressly used to do that.
Let's try Josh and Joliet. Hey, Josh.
Yes, hi. Do you guys think that... Should we do an in-season firing, like firing Jed Hoyer, if we don't improve here?
No. Thanks for the phone call. I understand the frustration. Even kind of respect the overreaction. But no. Jed Hoyer's not going to get...
Are you kind of bummed that you didn't get there first?
Well, just based
on... Go for his head!
Just based on my reaction, my overreaction, I'm acknowledging that. Is it bad to lean into that? Because I have at times,
fair.
Tried to stay... more level-headed about the Cubs.
Hey, I saw your reaction to Matt Shaw's homer.
Yeah, that was funny. I was psyched.
You're a little over the top. I'll give you that.
Okay.
You're a lot more emotionally invested than I thought. So you're allowed to get angry about the bullpen.
I was in a good frame of mind.
We're having a great time.
Well fed. We're having a lot of fun. So the Matt Shaw homer hit me right.
Hey, he homered. It was fun.
Okay. But I understand the sentiment. But Jed's entering the final year of his contract. He has earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And I do believe this. We talked about it on Inside the Clubhouse as well. Bruce will have a thought on this. If the Cubs are close and in contention, I do believe that they're going to be aggressive at the deadline.
Right.
They're going to get what they don't have.
Didn't you ask someone that question? I think you guys talked about that.
Yeah, we talked to Carter Hawkins.
That's who it was.
Carter Hawkins on Saturday inside the clubhouse.
Is he? Did you ask him if he was responsible for the Thibault?
Because of the Cleveland connection?
Yeah.
Or wait.
I blame him.
He came from the Twins, but he also was brought here in free agency, and it may be Carter Hawkins' fault.
I'm blaming him.
Didn't ask him that one.
No.
Eli Morgan was the Guardians connection.
That's right.
Eli, that's even better.
The biggest Morgan blunder from yesterday
was the Guardians connection.
The biggest blunder.
Well, why did they keep him in as long as they kept him in? That's all I wanted to know yesterday.
Well, I didn't understand it. And now we know it's because Julian Merriweather had warmed up too much.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Well,
is that it? Okay. Thanks, Coach.
I don't think that's an acceptable excuse. I just don't. I mean, I understand it happens in the bullpen probably more than we realize, but I just don't think that's what you want to say when your bullpen lets you down.
Phil is in Lombard. Hey, Phil.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I called the station probably about 4 weeks ago. Actually, I think it was with Bruce and Saturday morning, but I know they were talking about the Cubs, and they actually kind of called me pessimistic after my call. And the reason I called is I said, you know what? Jed Hoyer had basically three things to do this winter. One was obtain a viable big league closer, which he failed on. He got somebody who basically the Astros, granted they went and got, you know, the best closer in baseball, but they seemed the need to do that and kind of push Ryan Pressly out of that spot. He needed to add a power bat. And third base was a disaster last year with Christopher mm-hmm. Morel and Isaac Paredes.
Like eight guys.
And so now he's got Matt Shaw. So now he's got Matt Shaw there. He could have got the power bat and the third baseman by getting Alex Bregman. He failed there. Okay. And now he's got Matt Shaw, which I could tell right away this kid is not going to be able to play third base. He does not have the arm. You know, he might wind up hitting. But again, you know, when you say, well, we got to give Jed Hoyer a pass, why? This is the third year in a row. This is the third year in a row. They're not going to make the playoffs because of the bullpen. And so, you know what? We're going to hold on. We're going to hold on to Jed. He's going to make some.
All right.
Thanks, Phil.
Phil, you are pessimistic.
Appreciate the scrutiny. And I think the urgency is appropriate for Jed. Lay off Matt Shaw. Be patient.
Don't talk about him like that. We're going to talk to Bruce next. Bruce Levine will join us. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Baseball.
Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to our dear friend Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Bruce, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. I'm swinging my torpedo bat right now, getting ready to hit one out for you.
Why aren't more people using it? If it's if it's working as well as it has, although someone told me that the reason Stanton had all these elbow problems is because he is using that bat, but use it he does.
Yeah, you know, redistributing the weight on a bat and the length of the bat, those are interesting things. And again, everybody who's using it right now said, well, you know, it's the barrel of the bat is now more in the middle. The thicker part of the bat is in the middle. I feel the weight distribution in my hands closer to where my power has to be. You know, again, it's a copycat league, and I'm sure you're going to see more people using this. We found out that Bellinger tried this last year with the Cubs, didn't use it during a game, but was experimenting with it in spring training. So you'll see more people using it, that's for sure.
Bruce,
they keep hitting home runs.
What are we to make of the Cubs' bullpen collapse on Sunday? How concerned should we be? And what did you make of Craig Counsell's explanation that Julian Merriweather wasn't available because he warmed up too much?
Well, you know, that's on the manager. That's on the pitching people. You know, that he warmed up twice the day before, and he didn't feel good yesterday. Okay, so when he got up, that's the way it goes. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's had some injury issues to begin with, you know, over the last year and a half. I would just tell you this, that I don't think Craig Counsell is any dumber from Saturday into Sunday. He was just with a limited bullpen. The guys didn't get it done. He did not have those other pitchers available. He could have brought in Ray earlier. I think, I think we've talked about before, you know, Ray is the Swiss Army knife for that bullpen right now. He can pitch in the bullpen in any area, and he can also start. So that was the impetus to go out and get him, a guy that Counsell knew, and this was something that they wanted him to, he wanted the front office to make sure that they went out and got a guy like this. And, you know, if he's at fault, he didn't use him in the right place. But I don't think he was thinking at the time that the bullpen guys that he brought in were going to be totally inept.
Yeah, I mean, it was frustrating to watch because we've seen this show before. And then the worst part of it was leaving the guy in. I mean, not having anyone. And, I mean, it was like hit, hit, hit. It was crazy to leave him in at that point. But this is the way things are going. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just frustrating.
Right. And if you look at the bullpen, the walks were really bad, too. I mean, you know, you had after Boyd, who pitched really well, you know, he pitched his five innings, and then you have to make up that next four with your bullpen. But, you know, they walked six guys, and most of them scored. So from that perspective, it's just a bad day. And it was a horrible look for him because of the fact that they came back and they took what looked like a comfortable lead, four-run lead, going into the bottom of the eighth.
Yeah, so. the 10 runs allowed by the bullpen.
Yeah, not a good start for the Cubs.
I think Council is wearing this, but a 4-game series to begin the season, your bullpen got away from you. That's the only way you can look at it.
That's the way that you should look at it, and you have to if you're a Cub fan, if you're management as well. So, Bruce, let's look at the White Sox, because their starting pitching was outstanding, and their starting pitchers have yet to give up an earned run. How would you describe their weekend series? Because 1-2 start, but you feel like, wow, that's a different team. And they look like a more complete team, whoever they are.
Well, they made their first error as well. And I think the one thing that stood out most of this short series, and it's only 3 games, is the reality that their defense seems to be better, okay? It was one of the most horrendous defenses that the White Sox have ever had last year, to go along with no offense. The offense is still questionable here as we go into the fourth game today with Minnesota coming to town. But, it was a brand of baseball. And, Mike, you're the resident White Sox fan right now.
Thank you,
buddy. It was a brand that you could watch, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I said to David, I really my takeaway, I know they lost 2 one-run losses, including a game in which they couldn't score. And I want, what's his name? Who's the Kyle Teal? No.
Kyle Teal.
I want him up here now.
Sooner rather than later.
If he's going to get hits and hit home runs, he needs to do it here. But I just can't get past the fact that the manager seems so much better. Like, it makes you wonder, how did they stay with Pedro as long as they did? Because they got better with a guy that was kind of a novice, and now you got a guy that is kind of, you can tell he's going to be a good manager.
There is a demeanor difference. Again, Pedro spent a lot of his time, and again, they were brought in under different circumstances. Mm-hmm. Remember, Pedro was brought into a team that had won a division and then played 500 ball the next year. And the consensus was you still had a veteran team and you had good young players that was going to contend to win the championship. It didn't. It failed. The veterans bailed on you. Not only did they bail on you, but they became clubhouse cancers in a lot of cases, and you had to get rid of them. Remember at the trading deadline, 5 pitchers right. dealt away. So from that perspective, he was on the defensive all of the time, right? This guy comes in, he's got a clear idea of what his job is, who his coaches are, what the job is moving forward, and I think it's different. Plus, this guy, is more in tune with what baseball is right now, okay? He's in tune with the metrics department, he's in tune with the younger players. Pedro was a good baseball man, but not suited for the job the way it was when they started the rebuild.
I also think, Bruce, this is something to keep an eye on. I'm curious to talk to Sox players about this. It seems as if the respect level is more immediate or easier to come by because he's an ex-player. Yes, he's youthful. Yes, he can relate to them. But I also think that his ability to liken their experiences to what he went through and them knowing that helps them have that instant respect, and that credibility maybe is missing when you don't have a manager who played at the major league level the way that Will Venable did.
I think there's something to be said for that, but keep in mind all these guys are also going to be in line because a lot of them for the first time are trying to get jobs. The guys that Pedro had, many of them were just looking to get out because they knew they were going to lose and they wanted to go somewhere else, okay? They were bailing on you. So I'm not making any excuses for Pedro. I'm just saying this group, they're all trying to prove that they're major leaguers. The guys that are there, they're trying to prove every day they deserve to be in the lineup. Not necessarily the case when Pedro took over the White Sox.
They got to get more runs. I think it's as simple as that. They just need to be able to score more in order to win consistently. And I'm not kidding. Whenever I see someone do anything in the minor leagues, I'm just like, bring them up. Let's go. Let's see it.
Yeah, Vaughn's going to have to hit.
Yeah,
okay.
He's not right now, he isn't.
That was a big part of their offense last year. Not that you're going to put it all on Vaughn, but He didn't hit the first half. He did really well the last couple months of the year. But, you know, this is a guy that was picked number three. You know, overall, he was expected to be a star player. He hasn't been that yet. He's a decent Major League Baseball player, but not the star that they thought he would be at the position. So this is a big year for him to prove, you know, that he is moving up the ladder and being one of the top players in the league.
Back to the Cubs for a moment. Thought Shota and Matthew Boyd were good and gave the Cubs that stability from the starting rotation that they maybe didn't have when Tyone wasn't good. And Justin Steele was you know, probably a guy that looked like he was a little bit rusty. What do you expect from Ben Brown tonight? And what is it about this rotation that you feel either good or bad about?
Well, I really like the idea of Brown, and so do they. You know, here you have a power arm that's different from the other guys. Each pitcher is different, but this guy can throw 96, 97 miles an hour, so hit the top of the zone. He's been working really hard. You know, he's got the knuckle curve, which is a really good pitch, but he's been working exceedingly hard this spring on a third pitch. He's trying to develop, you know, a better changeup to use, just a different pitch to change the eye level of the hitters. So he's a really important part, I think, of the rotation for the Cubs, because you want to have that guy that throws 96 to 98. You want to have that young pitcher in the lineup, in that rotation, that's different from the other guys who average 92, 93. And, you know, hitters get really comfortable during a three- or four-game series, as we saw. You were looking at the best offense in baseball on the other side of the field with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So you knew you were in for a challenge here. I think, you know, three out of four would have been fantastic. Actually, 500 is not horrible to start the season if you didn't have those first two games to look at from the Dodgers to begin the year in Japan. So not a bad start. Certainly the bullpen has to, you know, come back tonight and be ready to go. I think the guys that weren't available to pitch will be ready tonight.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think that they need to win this series in Sacramento, and I don't know that the A's haven't improved enough. I mean, Ben Brown against Joey Estes tonight at 9 o'clock, 8:30 pregame here on The Score. I don't know. I would love to say, yeah, it's the A's and this should be, you should get this done, but it's just a weird kind of meltdown with the bullpen that makes you hesitate.
It was. I mean, you think by watching that eighth inning that you're watching the fourth or fifth inning in spring training still, right? Because the guys just didn't look ready. You know, the guys that came in, they were just giving up bombs. And again, Council was sitting there knowing that he had no options other than bring in Ray earlier. And it was a hard takeaway from what looked like a really good series for the Cubs.
Bruce, you were there yesterday, I believe, at the rate. Can you just describe how quickly the weather came? And then what would you say about the way the grounds crew handled their challenge?
It wasn't easy for them. 3 hours worth.
Tough job.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Roger is the best of the best in the world. So, you know, you never second-guess Roger Boston.
Feel bad for him.
Yeah, I do too. But the reality of, you know, sitting around for 3 hours, it was really tough for everybody. The White Sox team, a much more watchable team.
Right.
I'm not trying to sell anything on anybody, because people are going to come out just to watch good White Sox baseball. And I think defensively and from pitching perspective, people should be happy with the first three games.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they've got a couple of matinees this week, which is huge. It's great. I mean, I can't go today.
For us.
Wednesday, I think we should all go. We should go as a crew.
You know, let me know. I'm buying the milkshakes. You know, I'll be ready with
God,
for you guys.
Bruce, that's quite an investment. Yeah. Those cake shakes aren't
now
cheap.
Now we're definitely
They're worth it, but they're not cheap.
Not at all.
Can I expense them? Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Never mind. Mitch loves that.
Thanks, Bruce.
See you,
guys,
buddy.
Have a great day. Stuff. See you at the ballpark.
Yes, right. I hope so. Thank you, pal. That
Wednesday?
Is our guy, Bruce. What do you think? It's a
you
one.
It, you got us in for Wednesday? It's 1:10, Sean Burke and Pablo Lopez.
Yeah. We got Sean Burke on
I
the bump.
I think ahead of what's going
He's
on Wednesday.
Ace. You know, let's stare. We got the soccer, we got the Bulls on Tuesday night, yeah. Right?
Well, we're going to Bulls on Tuesday night again.
So
yes.
Then we go from here right out to
what's
the,
happening to you?
I'm
trying to go to all these
I'm
events
going sports
suddenly.
Fan.
Yeah, all right.
And
well,
then Friday we got the home opener.
Yes, we do out at Wrigley Field.
So I feel there's a lot. That's the fourth of the openers.
Right? Quite a week. It's a fourth opener for the
Cubs. Third opener tonight.
Fourth on the fourth. Yeah. Big day for you.
Fourth on the fourth. And it's my son's
I
birthday.
I know.
He's turning 21. My wife is like, we should go to the U of I. We'll drive down there. We could take him out.
Well, I'm sure he'd love that.
He's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
He can't wait
he
to
can't
go
wait.
To the pub with his mates, yeah. You know. 21.
His first beer,
for God's sake, finally. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on the score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Yeah, I obviously don't know what's going to happen over the next, you know, 3-4 months, but I do know that this club and this organization and the Ricketts family have always, you know, supported the team to try to be the best version of itself, you know, within, you know, what you were talking about. But my expectation would be that if we need to make moves to get us to where we want to go, that we're going to be able to do that. You know, I don't think we're going to be able to, you know, go trade for every player that's making $100 million. But at the same time, you know, I think, you know, if we make smart, intelligent moves that line up with the goals of this organization, that, you know, we're all going to get behind that and make that happen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Carter Hawkins. I'm with David and Bruce inside the clubhouse on Saturday morning. Always fun to hear that. I mean, I don't know.
What did you hear when you heard that?
I heard that they're going to go get somebody. They're going to get help.
I heard that they're not going to be afraid or limited to pursue whoever they need, assuming they're going to be in a position to need it.
But the guy can't be making $100 million.
Right. Well, that means $100 million over the course of his contract. I guess, yeah, they're not going to go out for guys who are...
No Otani.
No, yeah, guys what? Not like that. Guys who would make sense. I think what we're talking about here, and it's so early to start talking about that, but the question was framed by Bruce that if you feel like the Cubs are in a position, will they be aggressive?
Will they add to it, get over the top?
Let's face it. To me,
they got
to
play better.
Well, the question is only appropriate because of what you didn't do in the offseason.
Exactly. You didn't spend all that Bellinger money.
You didn't spend the Bellinger
We're
money.
Still waiting.
You still haven't replaced him.
And
I know Kyle Tucker's here, off to a very good start.
He had a great game. He had a great
King
game
Tuck
on Saturday.
Has arrived.
Okay.
King Tuck is.
What did he go? 3-for-4?
Yes. Well, he's got 2 home runs.
He had a really good.
Really good day.
Yeah.
But I still feel like, and I'll argue this with anybody who continues to ask me what I'm talking about. Where would he play? How would he do it? What would you do? You know what? If you still have Cody Bellinger, you find a way. Do you see what big? You see the belly bomb over the weekend with the big old torpedo bat?
Yep.
Imagine that torpedo bat at Wrigley Field.
He's a big enough man to make the torpedo bat seem appropriate.
So I miss him. I miss Cody Bellinger.
Come
okay.
Come in for one. Let me just give you a little.
So that's why the question was asked, and I think that's why the question persists. The Cubs are still a bat shy.
Yeah, and they had a bat, and they got rid of it.
But here's what I fear. Here's what I fear. Already.
Uh-oh.
That instead of the bat that everybody agrees that they didn't replace.
When you need a bat, go get a pitcher.
Yeah, and they're going to need a bullpen arm.
They need a bullpen arm.
They're going to need a stabilized bullpen. Yep. They're going to need to stabilize their bullpen. They're going to go out and get an arm. They're going to be looking at guys like...
How bad is Poteet is the question. If you couldn't make this team.
Cody Poteet was traded. They found his home for him.
Where did he go?
That's a good question. Now it's escaped my mind. I know what they got in return.
They got money, right?
They got cash considerations.
How does that work?
That means that basically this is a giveaway. And somebody is buying the right to... It was the Orioles. They gave the Cubs cash considerations, and Cody Poteet will report to AAA Norfolk.
Wow.
So he's back in the American League East. He came from the Yankees. as the player who will be the answer to a trivia question and nothing else.
Did you see that? This is bizarre, but the Reds, they have, if they lose the first game of a series, they lose the series. This is like, this has been going on.
How did that happen?
For like 2 years. That it, like, if they lose the opening game of a three-game set, they always lose the series.
They need to keep losing.
Since June of 2023.
That won't be the case. Terry Francona is going to change that.
I love him. I'm just saying.
That's a quirky stat.
It's
quirky.
How depressing.
It's very depressing.
The minute they lose the first game of a series, you're like, nah.
While we're talking about quirky things, how about the Miami Marlins? Three straight walk-offs. The first major league team in more than two decades to get their first three victories via walk-off.
The Sox had a chance to do that, but they couldn't pull it off.
It's true. But the Marlins are off to a good start, and those Yankees are undefeated, and so are the Dodgers.
Dodgers are never going to lose, apparently.
They're never going to lose. And Ohtani hasn't even pitched yet, but he's throwing bullpens.
Yeah, they made an announcement.
When we come back, can we talk about football for a second?
Yes, we have to.
This tush-push thing is bugging me.
Good, I want to hear it. You and Nick Sirianni.
Don't careful, compare me to him.
Careful who you
crying.
Align yourself with,
I'm
sir.
I'm going to start crying here.
Yeah. It's all right. We'll give you all the emotional support you need, Mr. David. We'll talk some football next. The owners' meeting's coming. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.